upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And welcome to Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, editor and founder of Technocracy.News website. Today is May 23rd, 2019. And today we're going to talk about the military a little bit and then opportunity zones. The military and the various technocrats that are working within the military to create artificial intelligence that will be used to automatically kill things is really running amok. I've suggested for a long time that we need to have a national ethical discussion on killer technology. And now a paper has been issued by some experts, some researchers at ASRC Federal, a private company that provides support for the intelligence and defense communities in association with the University of Maryland. They've revealed that they believe the only way to have a defense against this killer AI is simply not to develop it in the first place. But the arms race has already started. It's very unlikely it's going to be curtailed at this point because China and Russia especially are racing ahead with their own autonomous killing technology. But their point is, and I think it's well taken, there will come a point with artificial intelligence systems that are operating in the field where humans are no longer able to handle or control the technology. It simply will be too much for a human mind to comprehend at the same time. Of course, AI with a supercomputer behind it can think through things and scenarios so much more quickly than a human that humans simply can't keep up. And this is the danger with autonomous killing systems. They will eventually reach a point where they're simply too complex for the human mind to handle. So the first story, experts, the only defense against killer AI is not to develop it. It's a good argument, and it's a nice platitude, but since the cat is already out of the bag, it's going to be pretty difficult to put it back. Now, along the same lines, the second story has to do with DARPA. DARPA is now working on brain-machine interfaces that you can wear. In other words, a helmet-type device that will be able to interface your brain with some type of machine. They're actually inventing different types of machines, but the idea is to get your brain working with that. So a brain-machine interface can be used for a multitude of things. The article starts out, DARPA has awarded funding to six organizations to support the next generation non-surgical neurotechnology. They're calling it N3. First announced in March 2018, so it's only a year old, a little over a year old. Battelle Memorial Institute, Carnegie Mellon University, Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory, Palo Alto Research Center, Rice University, and Teledyne Scientific are leading multidisciplinary teams to develop high-resolution bidirectional brain-machine interfaces for use by able-bodied service members. These wearable interfaces could ultimately enable diverse national security applications such as control of active cyber defense systems and swarms of unmanned aerial vehicles, or teaming up with computer systems to multitask during complex missions. Sounds a little science fiction-y, doesn't it? Well, just a review on who DARPA is. Again, DARPA stands for the Defense Advanced Military Projects Agency. It's been around since 1957. My guess is that from day one, it was populated primarily by technocrats who viewed that there was a technological solution to every conceivable problem that mankind has. In DARPA's case, however, being that it's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is working for the military. In particular, and trying to create technology that will support the battlefield, allow us to dominate the battlefield. And so on their about page, just to explain a little bit about DARPA and their mission statement, this is straight off their website. It says, DARPA explicitly reaches for transformational change instead of incremental advances, but it does not perform its engineering alchemy in isolation. Note the phrase engineering alchemy. That's pretty good. It continues, it works within an innovation ecosystem that includes academic, corporate, and governmental partners with a constant focus on the nation's military services, which work with DARPA to create new strategic opportunities and novel tactical options. For decades, this vibrant interlocking ecosystem of diverse collaborators has proven to be a nurturing environment for the intense creativity that DARPA is designed to cultivate. So there you go. That's almost a manifesto for technocracy. So we'll leave the military behind for now. This is a very serious topic because the arms race is in full stride right now all around the world. And the things that they're doing behind closed doors are almost straight out of science fiction movies. The next war that will be fought will amaze all those who are not aware of this new technology, because it literally will appear like magic. Automated killing machines, not good. The last story again is one that I just can't leave alone. It has to do with opportunity zones. We talked about opportunity zones yesterday, but the more I look into this and the more I research it, the more I realize that opportunity zones spell big trouble for American citizens. The story placed on the front cover today of technocracy.news is opportunity zones to fund Erie, Pennsylvania smart city makeover. And I've been warning about this, that funds that are directed into opportunity zones will often be used, not exclusively, but often be used for smart city implementation. Remember that cities are strapped for cash all across America. Many cities are just dead broke and they're on the verge of bankruptcy. So there's a real desire for cities to rake in money to do new projects. If they can get the money from private individuals, that's fine. In the case of Erie, Pennsylvania, the intent is very clear. The article starts out, additional security cameras, LED lighting, and free public Wi-Fi were introduced in downtown Erie in 2018 as part of a pilot program for what's known as smart city technology. Mayor Joe Schember's administration and other local officials want to bring the same technology to local neighborhoods targeted for reinvestment under the federal Opportunity Zone program. Schember, in an interview last week, said his administration, working with the Erie Innovation District and others, is working to bring, quote, secure smart city, quote, equipment and technology over the next 12 months to the 8 opportunity zones in the Erie region that have been designated by Governor Tim Wolf's office and certified by the U.S. Treasury Department. Now, this is the essence of it. We already know this, that the Treasury Department is the one who collects the designations of opportunity zones. They're designated by the governor, however, and there's no certification process necessary in this. The governor simply says it is going to be this way, that's it over there, and they draw the lines, they draw the map, and they submit it to the Treasury, and that's all there is to it. So Erie, Pennsylvania apparently has 8 opportunity zones in its region. According to Schember, that would include security cameras that could read license plates and have facial recognition capabilities, energy-efficient LED streetlights, and free Wi-Fi in public spaces throughout the opportunity zone tracks. The intent is to make those areas safer and more attractive for investment. Quote, it's kind of an aggressive goal, Schember said, but let's get these areas done, and within the next 3 years, I'd like to see this technology throughout the entire city. Well, of course he would. Once he gets the mechanism for public-private partnerships to do it in the opportunity zone, it'll be a no-brainer to expand it to the rest of the city, opportunity zone or not. Well, this is an article that you need to read. You may not know anything about Erie, Pennsylvania, but that's not the point. The point is that this is ripe. The opportunity zone program is absolutely ripe for domination by companies and public-private partnerships that want to implement smart city technology in cities. Now, there was a conference recently. There was a conference recently called ICSC Recon. One article says cities and economic development teams are getting into the opportunity zone game and bringing potential investment sites to the biggest annual retail real estate convention. At booths at this year's ICSC Recon, several municipalities and local governments can be seen discussing sites with potential investors. Large maps of designated opportunity zones are hung up inside their booths. Pamphlets and other literature are strewn across the table. Quote, this is the first place-based incentive that has been rolled out by the federal government in many years, so says the president of the Alliance for Economic Development of Oklahoma City. This is a bottom-up approach where communities can really use the incentive to drive what they want to have happen. Well, here's what they want to have happen. Smart city technology. This convention that just took place listed many cities and how they're seeking to promote opportunity zones. Oklahoma City, Miami Gardens, Florida, Kennewick, Washington, San Bernardino County in California, Fontana, California, and so on. They all lined up to show off their maps of opportunity zones and try and convince investors that that's a good place to invest. Well, of course, the cities have their hand out for money, don't they? They're broke. If they don't get the money from the outside, they simply aren't going to have it because there's no other way for them to raise money. And again, just to give a little bit more background on opportunity zones in general, the executive order says 52 million Americans live in economically distressed communities. Despite the growing national economy, these communities are plagued by high poverty costs, failing schools, and a scarcity of jobs. In December 2017, I signed, now that's President Trump speaking here, it's his executive order, I signed into law a bill originally introduced as the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which established a historic new federal tax incentive that promotes long-term equity investments in low-income communities designated as qualified opportunity zones by the governors of states or territories. In order to further facilitate such investment, my administration will implement reforms that streamline existing regulations, protect taxpayers by optimizing use of federal resources, stimulate economic opportunity and mobility, encourage entrepreneurship, expand quality education opportunities, develop and rehabilitate quality housing stock, promote workforce development, and promote safety and prevent crime in urban and economically distressed communities. This order establishes a White House council to carry out my administration's plan to encourage public and private investment, read that to be, by the way, public-private partnerships, in urban and economically distressed areas, including qualified opportunity zones. The council shall lead joint efforts across executive departments and agencies to engage with state, local, and tribal governments to find ways to better use public funds to revitalize urban and economically distressed communities. Now, the membership of this council is worth noting. The designated members to this particular council by EO, by executive order, Secretary of the Treasury, the Attorney General, Secretary of the Interior, Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary of Labor, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary of Transportation, Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Education, the Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, the Director of the Office of Management and Budget, the Assistant to the President for Economic Policy, Chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, and the Chairman of the Council on Environmental Quality. And then, oh, by the way, it says the heads of other such agencies, offices, or independent regulatory agencies as the chair may, from time to time, designate or invite. So this is a very high-level commission that the president has created. Essentially, his entire cabinet will participate in this. And the idea is to make a coordinated effort across the entire administration and all these various agencies to push opportunity zone investment. So this is a big deal. It's a very big deal. Now, I want to remind you again that the original legislation, the Jobs Act from December 2017, was sponsored and promoted by the Economic Innovation Group in Washington, D.C. This group on their website, which is EIG.org, EIG stands for Economic Innovation Group.org, under his leadership section on his website has a page for executive team and staff, the founder circle, the economic advisory board, and the policy council. In examining all these various groups of people more closely, I find that it's truly an elite organization that appears to be driven by big tech money. And when I say big tech, I'm talking about, for instance, the founder of EIG is Sean Parker, the first president of Facebook. He joined Mark Zuckerberg and co-found and developed Facebook, and he served as its founding president for several years. Other people involved in the founder circle represent venture capital companies, and most of those are involved in Silicon Valley in one way or another. So these people collectively represent where the big money is in big tech. They placed that money originally into startups that became wildly rich over the years, and now they're looking for ways to diversify their money without paying income tax, capital gains tax. That's why they created the concept of opportunity zones in the first place. And these same companies, by the way, are people who are creating smart city technology that will dominate the urban environment like they do in China right now. Complete surveillance, complete social control over people. And as I look deeper into the leadership area, you find on the Economic Advisory Board, for instance, all kinds of people, high-level economists that you'd recognize instantly by name and by picture, perhaps, Dr. Kenneth Rogoff, Harvard University, former chief economist at the International Monetary Fund, Dr. Austin Goolsbee, professor of economics at the University of Chicago. He was chairman of President Barack Obama's Council on Economic Advisors and is a member of the cabinet as well as the chief economist for the president's Economic Recovery Advisory Board, which originally was chaired by Paul Volcker. On the policy council, you'll find people like Andrew Yang, founder and CEO of Venture for America. This is the same Andrew Yang that's currently running for president on a number of different radical programs. You'll find Chris Camacho on the policy board as well. He is the president and CEO of one of the longest standing public-private partnerships for economic development across the country. And that's called GPEC, G-P-E-C, and happens to be based in Phoenix, Arizona. That's the Greater Phoenix Economic Council. He's also part of the new Phoenix Area Smart Region Initiative that intends to blanket the entire region in the Phoenix area with smart city technology. So the Economic Innovation Group is an extremely elite group of people, well-connected, well-financed, basically it's money looking for a home. It's for money looking to be unlocked where huge capital gains exist. And as smart city technology is rolled out across the country using these opportunity zones, these big tech investors, pioneers, will be creating a source of data that can be mined and drilled for just like oil. In fact, many people have suggested that data is the oil of the 21st century. It's where the money is. It's where the value is. And what better way to suck data out of society than to blanket it with smart city technology, claiming that it's going to help the citizens when in fact it's going to suck them dry. This is the biggest data play that I've seen so far with technocracy. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Bye for now.